Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean. And we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean, and the recently released Rainbow Realities Report combined findings from six large studies of LGBTQIA+ people in Australia and includes new findings about First Nations people's health, healthcare experiences, gender affirmation, and a whole lot more.
To discuss some of the new findings in the report, we're joined this morning by researchers Shakara from Telethon Kids Institute on the phone and Natalie from La Trobe University. Welcome both of you to Joy Breakfast.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Hi, thanks for having us.
To start with, Nat, what was the team hoping to achieve by carrying out this research, and did it end up being what you were expecting?
So that's an awesome question. The report was commissioned by the Department of Health and Ageing. The idea is that it is to inform the new LGBTQ national action, the 10-year national action plan that the government is planning. And it's we have sort of these really good surveys all around the country with quite a lot of data. So the report brings them together. So it includes six different surveys of the population in Australia. We have more than 20,000 responses altogether across those surveys. And it kind of consolidates the existing findings of those surveys, but also introduces another more than 50 new analyses from them as well. Kind of gives a good snapshot of the health and well-being of the community.
Now, some people may have noticed that in our introduction, the I for intersex wasn't a part of the rainbow acronym that we said there. Now, is this because the needs of intersex Australians fell outside of the scope of the data in this report? Or is it that just we haven't done enough yet to support our intersex communities in data for them? Do either of you know?
Yeah, it's the latter. We haven't got enough data. We tried. The report includes the Private Lives 3 survey and the Writing Themselves in 4 survey, which were conducted at the Australian Research Centre for Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe. Both of those surveys did attempt to collect data from intersex community, but the sample size we got was just way too small. Mm. So we can't really meaningfully talk to the outcomes for that community. There definitely is a need for more data that is very specifically focused and targeted towards people with intersex variations that can really meaningfully represent that community.
Now, the report's organised into 10 themes relating to LGBTQIA+ health outcomes, ranging from mental health and suicidality, trans-affirming practice, income equality and family violence, and so much more. Have the findings been sobering, seeing all of this data and information collected in this way?
Yeah.
Look, it absolutely is, but also I feel like as queer people, this isn't entirely unexpected. And I feel like that's an unfortunate thing of doing a lot of this research, is that it's nice to have your experience reflected on the page, even if that is some good things, but also some quite sobering results.
I guess my thought is when we see so much data, we're often hearing and seeing all of the negatives. And we, within our communities, create a lot of visibility and positivity. But when it comes to data, it can speak to that. So when it all kind of came together, was it just like, okay, wow, or was it just what you were expecting?
I think there's a bit of a mix of there is a lot in there that we as a community already know. It's nice to have the data to show it. And then there is a lot of unexpected. Also, that a lot of the positive things that come through in the report are really nice to see as well. Things like community connection, being protected for mental health and well-being, particularly at the intersection of disability. There's some analyses in there that show that people with a disability who feel that they are engaged with community, feeling heard by community, both the LGBT community and also by peers with disability, have better mental health outcomes and greater happiness.
So now that we've got this data and it's more comprehensive than we've had before, what can we do with this information now that it's collated? Who is going to benefit the most from this information being collected?
So I guess the first thing that the results are going to inform is the development of the Federal Department of Health's action plan. Obviously, I don't know 100% what that's going to look like, but I think that will be very important in informing what support for the LGBTQIA plus community's health looks like over the next 10 years. Personally, my focus was on the First Nations chapter. That's kind of the work that I do. And in that regard, this is incredibly important in that we really have not had a lot of data specifically looking at the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander LGBTQIA plus community. So that's hugely beneficial in terms of the works that our communities and our health organisations do as a starting point to actually say, okay, what's going on for us?
Well, coming up, we are going to touch on that specifically. We're talking about the Rainbow Realities Report. It has 10 different themes relating to LGBTQA plus health outcomes. And we're going to hear more about it after this. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and
Joy. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean, and we're joined by researchers Shakara from Telethon Kids Institute and Natalie from La Trobe University as we talk about the Rainbow Realities Report. Now, Shakara, this one's for you. One of the themes, as you mentioned, is about First Nations LGBTQA plus health. What are some of the key findings that were uncovered in all of this?
I guess as a starting point, there were many findings about the mental health of First Nations LGBTQIA plus people. Overarchingly, not great, and in particular, Indigenous participants in the Writing Themselves In and Private Lives surveys had overall worse mental health, psychological distress and suicide ideation and attempt than non-Indigenous participants. Also may point to the impact of racism overlaid on top of the homophobia and transphobia and other forms of cis heterosexism that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander queer people experience. But we also found some protective factors looking at social emotional well-being from an Aboriginal perspective that includes those connections to family and community and culture in addition to mental health and physical health. And so it really points to the importance that acceptance by family and by community and pride in their Aboriginal identity has. We also found from the Writing Themselves In survey that connection to school and to educational institutions was protective.
Research like this is so important, especially in relation to the data of our communities, but the intersectionality that exists is also really important as well. What can Rainbow Mob learn from this as far as participating in this information and the changes that can make for them?
Look, I think this really just points to the importance of having Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people represented in all of these large national studies that we do. We need to be there in the data and we need to be involved in actually creating it and developing the process. So being part of doing this has really pointed to the ways that we can do that, how we can involve Aboriginal people and look specifically at Aboriginal data in large surveys like this.
We're talking about the Rainbow Realities Report, which basically combined the findings of six large studies of the LGBTQA plus Australian community together. Now, Natalie, another of the themes that we were talking about, Rach mentioned earlier in the interview, 10 themes relating to the health outcomes of our communities. And another one was the poorer health outcomes that intersectional identities can sometimes experience. Can you just speak about the idea that positive intersectionality can result in relation to better health outcomes for our communities?
Yeah, sure. So we do. We have a chapter in the report that's dedicated to different intersecting identities, just to kind of illustrate how those different intersections might impact health and wellbeing outcomes. And we do show where there is cases of worse mental health outcomes or increased rates of discrimination. But we do see some more positive things as well come out of it too. So, for example, In the ageing population within the surveys, we see less rates of loneliness or lower reports of loneliness, which was unexpected. But we also saw among them that they had more close friends. So possibly at this intersection, there is, life experience, more time to have kind of developed friendships that work for them, that are supportive for them, finding those kind of supportive groups and communities to be involved with, and then we see less loneliness. I think it's important to note as well that this was an online, these were online surveys of the adult population. So these are older people who are connected online as well. So it's not really representative of the older population more broadly. But we also see as well for those from multicultural backgrounds, more discrimination. They're faced with discrimination for their LGBTQ identity, but also their cultural background. But we didn't see worse mental health outcomes for them. And potentially this is to do with sort of unique resources or supports or increased resilience from having, unfortunately, more experiences of discrimination that they've kind of built, management for themselves. So yeah, we do see some interesting intersections where there might be both poorer outcomes, but also better outcomes that they might be drawing from other places.
Rach and I were looking at the report earlier before the interview. It's so huge. I mean, of course it would be. It's so dense and so massive. Mm. How can people kind of look at this and even process any part of it? I guess it's easier for both of you that understand data like this, but for us, we're just looking at it going, wow.
It's big.
Yeah.
there's a lot.
I think the chapter summaries did. Sorry, Nat.
You go.
I was just going to say, I think the chapter summaries do a beautiful job of summarizing some of that really key information. The designer's done a fantastic job in the report, actually being able to pull out some of those key findings that are good to look at.
And each of the key findings has a sort of dedicated infographics page. So it's quite, you can scroll through it and find the bright, colourful pages, and that really kind of sums up each finding.
Hey!
I'm so grateful for infographics. They make such a difference.
That's
for
something
my brain.
I can get around. Now, I want to ask you both this individually. What now for your part of this? What do you do now that you've got this information? Shakara?
Oh, my gosh. There is a lot of work that needs to be done. I think from my perspective, we've been really working with a lot of different health services, Aboriginal organisations, LGBTQ+ organisations, to actually start sharing this information and be working with community about, now that we know this, what are the next steps we need to take? I think specifically for First Nations perspective, that's still forming the first steps as a queer Black community is kind of where we're at currently. I think Nat can speak better to the rest of the report.
Yeah, I think, I reflect what Shaq says as well. And for me personally, I breathe a sigh of relief that this giant report is done and is out in the world. And I think, now's the exciting time where community and advocates can, and government and stakeholders can take the findings of this report, and hopefully it can and shape better futures for the community.
But is a report like this potentially something that can influence things like questions in our census? This is a conversation that we had kind of last year. Can a report like this, that now we've got actual data that says, hey, this should be included in the census, which is like the data that the government relies on, do you think this might help influence that?
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah, I would. I hope so. I think you know, the outcomes in the community are so glaring. So, you know, and this is why we need more data. And all of the surveys that are in this report are very targeted to LGBTQ community. We need to see more population level data so that we can make comparisons to general population as well and see where we fit in the bigger scheme of things. So yes.
I think a good thing about the combination of all of this is it's seeing what we're missing. As we mentioned at the start of the interview, there just wasn't enough data, to a sample size of data, to be able to report on the needs of the intersex population. So we can look at what we know and what we don't, so that more data and research can be done on this kind of scale, which I think is really exciting.
You can download a copy of the Rainbow Realities Report via the La Trobe University website. We're also going to pop a link into our podcast of this chat, which you can find at joy.org.au/joybreakfast. Nat and Shakara, thank you so much for joining us on Joy Breakfast. It's been a very eye-opening conversation.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.